not so good days when I'm in the valley, I will praise him. You know why? Because he is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. Come on, he is faithful. He's there in the not so good days. He's right there. And he's there when we're celebrating, amen? When he gives us the desire of our hearts, like a little girl. That's so awesome. God is so good, amen? Hallelujah. So we declare this morning, yes, I will praise him. Amen? Hallelujah. Now it's time to turn to the Word of God. I shared with you at the beginning of the year, the word that the Lord laid on my heart was the word focus. That we're supposed to stay focused on the plan and purpose that God has for our life, for our community, our church community, and to guard against those things that have the potential to discourage and take us off focus. And we started in the book of Jude, and I taught on how to maintain focus and how to contend together, helping each other stay focused on the truth. And Pastor Dunstan carried on in Jude with staying focused as we do life together, staying focused, knowing our finish line, and staying focused on sharing it. And this morning I want to continue in that same theme of focus. And you know what it is to focus? It is to center or give careful attention to. And so Jude in his letter urges the churches, he says, contend for the faith. Don't lose focus. But rather, he says, give careful attention to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because the gospel, and only the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes or puts their faith in Jesus. Only the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ can do that. Amen? The Apostle Paul's life was completely transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus. So much so that his life impacted the entire Roman Empire with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many would like to have that kind of an impact with their life? I see one hand. I am there with you, Anne. But the Apostle Paul, he penned that truth to the Galatians like this. He wrote, I have been crucified with Christ and no longer live. But Christ lives in me. In the life I now live in this body, I live how? I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Our faith, if what we believe makes a difference, then it absolutely has to affect the way we live. And the way we live out our faith can be one of the most effective means that we have to defend and give evidence to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so for the next few weeks, I want to focus or give careful attention to our faith. And I've entitled this series, Focused Faith. And we're going to explore some of the foundational elements of our faith and perhaps some underdeveloped elements of our faith or areas that we need to grow in. And so this morning we're going to look at Colossians, and if you could open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, and I've titled this morning's talk, Here's what I titled it. A Life of Influence. And you can subtitle that with this, Living as Those Made Alive. A life of influence, living as those made alive. So, Father, we come to you this morning, and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you that we can enjoy your presence. Father, I thank you that your presence is here among us. and that you're moving among us. And I pray right now, Holy Spirit, you would speak to our hearts. That you would open up our hearts to receive what you have for us. Father, that we would hear, not just with our mind, but hear with our whole being, and that your word, we would receive it. And Father, your word would accomplish in us what it needs to accomplish. Pray that you would encourage us. And I pray that even as we look at these areas of faith, that you would cause our faith to grow in you. And our lives would give you glory, Father. For Jesus' sake we ask it. In his name we pray. Amen. They sat spellbound in the darkness, hardly breathing. A few were occasionally nibbling on popcorn, while most just stared. The screen had transported them into a new reality. Life behind was the ho-hum. Left behind was the ho-hum, the mundane, the everyday that they were swept up into now, a life of adventure, excitement, intrigue, and romance. They had entered the theater as individuals with impassive expression. But now they were one, a group that swayed and played with the drama, faces open and eager. Anger, joy, love, hate, fear, excitement. A multitude of emotions were being shared together as the moviegoers became one with the screen. They laughed and they cried as they went to places never ever traversed before. Things were as they should be. Wrongs were made right. Evil was punished. Justice was served. Loyalty was rewarded. Love was shared. And the impossible was overcome. They had come not to escape from life, but to experience it. Lifted above meaningless, they now were elevated into something higher and bigger for which their spirits yearned. Life was springing to new meaning from the safety of their seats. I love that. That's from Bob Sorge's book, Between the Lines. And I love that. They had come not to escape life, but to experience it. That's an interesting statement. And I thought, welcome to 2020, where you can run virtual races, where you can build virtual kingdoms, where you can conquer virtual villains, and where virtual justice can prevail, where virtual impossibilities can be overcome. You know, life was springing to new meaning from the safety of their seats. That sounds so sweet, doesn't it? To be able to live life from the safety of your seat. And for some of us, we really like those ones that rock a little, you know. But you know, with that, there's no pain. There's no risk. No conflict. Sounds awesome, isn't it? Doesn't it? There's no real reward. You know, I believe in all of us, there is something in our spirit that wants to rise above meaninglessness. I believe there's something in all of us that wants to rise into something higher. Not to escape life and not to live life through a video or a movie screen or a pretend simulated life or a counterfeit social media life, but to live life to its fullest. A real life that makes a real difference with a real future. Jesus said something very, very powerful. In John 10:10, he said this. He said, "The thief comes only to rob, kill, and destroy." See, the thief will come and try and gain access to our lives, to your life, to my life, and offer all kinds of alternative ways of living. Even with apparent success, with one goal: to rob you, to kill you, to destroy you. Let me give you an example. I was listening to an interview of a young woman in her late 20s, and this was just recent. She had built a huge online presence. She had a crazy number of followers. I don't know, I don't even recall what the amount of followers she said, but it was a crazy number of followers. As a result, it was generating significant income. And so by all appearances, there was success. She was walking in a measure of success. The problem, her online life wasn't real. Her online life was based on manipulation. It was based on lies and gossip designed to generate and create outrage. That's her own admission. The whole thing was based on lies and gossip designed to generate outrage with the purpose of creating and maintaining drama. So we seem to live in a culture that thrives on drama and outrage. Somebody, I heard somebody once say, Facebook is no longer a friendly place to visit. But we seem to live in this culture that thrives on drama and outrage. And what she was doing, she was creating this online presence that was based in lies and gossip, all designed to get people to comment, to get people to come, and creating all this anger and this drama. Now, the whole thing eventually fell apart, and she lost all of her followers. And it resulted in her experiencing severe suicidal depression that required help. And now this is what's really interesting about this. She wasn't depressed because of her loss of income, but rather she got lost in this deep depression because she didn't know who she was in real life anymore. See, her life was revolved around this deception. Her life was caught up in lies, and it was caught up in gossip and anger, and the whole thing fell apart. She didn't know who she was in real life, and suddenly she had no followers. She had been living this kind of social media, counterfeit social media life, and she had been fooled. And this was by her own admission. She had been fooled thinking that she was living some sort of life of significance because she had all of these followers. And when it came apart hard. And remind me, the thief will come and try and gain access to you and offer all kinds of alternative ways of living with one goal, to rob from you, to kill you, and ultimately destroy you. But I, Jesus said, I have come that everyone, that would include you, me, and our internet girl, might have life and have it to its fullest. In other words, to live life to its fullest potential. A real life of real meaning and influence. A real life of significance that has the power to effect change. In fact, he has come to give us a life that has eternal impact. Amen? That life, however, can only be accessed through faith in Jesus Christ. And God invites us into a journey that allows us to experience life to the fullest. He invites us a journey to partner for him. And I say, I don't know about you, but let the journey begin. Amen? And so the Apostle Paul points out in Colossians chapter 2, and I'll just read this to you in verses 13 and 14. He says, when you were dead in your sin and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. And the verse before talks about as we put our faith in Christ. When we do that, we were dead in our sins. And in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all of our sin, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness which stood against us. And he took it and he nailed it to the cross. Amen? We were dead in our sin, but when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, he makes us alive. alive. We are no longer condemned, dead in our sin, because we are forgiven. We are no longer ruled by the flesh, because through Jesus Christ, it has been cut away, dead, and buried. Amen? I'm going to say that again. We are no longer ruled by our flesh. Through faith in Jesus Christ, Paul says, the life I now live, I live by faith. He has forgiven us. We are no longer ruled by the flesh, because through Christ, it has been cut away. It is dead and buried. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? And then, as we see in Colossians 3, 1 to 3, let me read that to you. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Amen? Since, as we place our faith in Jesus Christ, what happens? We are raised with Christ. Amen? We're all good with that, right? We are raised with Christ. Our life is now hidden in Christ. We are raised with Christ, who is where? He is seated at the right hand of God. That is the place of complete victory, all authority, and total freedom, and perfect love. And our life is now hidden in Christ. Amen? We are raised with Christ. Well, what does that all practically mean? So we understand the challenges of our culture. Amen? But we are no longer held captive by its values. Right? We are no longer, the flesh has been cut away. We are no longer held captive by its values. So we don't have to live a counterfeit life, or treat others poorly, or attempt to gain influence or some sort of significance by treating others poorly, because we, or by lying, or by any of those things, because we have a new status or position in Christ. We have been delivered from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of God. We are now sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, with a new power source for living. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? So we are seated above. We are walking in the place of complete victory, perfect love. Amen? In Christ. And that's a reality for every believer who puts their faith in Jesus Christ. We have freedom, the power, and the authority to model something completely different, something incredibly different and life-changing. See, we're not held captive. We're not held captive. We understand the challenges of our culture. We see the direction the culture is moving. We are living in this culture, and we're facing all the challenges, but we are not bound by its values, because we are living in a different kingdom. We are living in the kingdom of God with a new power source, Jesus Christ. In Christ, we have the freedom and the power and the authority to model something incredibly different and life-changing. We have a mission, and we've been given the honor and the privilege, the power and the authority of revealing Jesus by doing what Jesus did. And that's modeling kingdom values. Amen? We model. We're not bound or held captive by this culture, because we've been set free. We've been transported into the kingdom of God. We've been delivered from the dominion of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God. Amen? And now through Jesus Christ, we model something different, something incredibly powerful, something incredibly life-changing, and that is the culture of the kingdom of God, a culture that values people. Instead of having to operate in outrage and lies and all of those things, we get to operate by the power of God's love. Amen? We get to model something so incredibly different. We get to model the values of the culture of the kingdom of God. Amen? And I want to tell you, there's no greater cause on the face of the earth, because to know God is to gain everything. And to miss knowing God is to lose everything. Amen? You and I, we're not here. We're not living at this moment by mistake. We are here for this time, for such a time as this, to live a life of profound influence and impact by demonstrating and extending the hope that is in Christ, a hope that has the power to change a person's eternal destiny. Amen? And if ever people needed hope, they need it today. I saw that hope at work firsthand in a nation that is so anti-Christ. I saw a people struggling with hope in a nation of Pakistan. And we were able to present the gospel. And I saw hundreds and thousands of people respond to the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and see their lives impacted for all eternity. There is power in the name of Jesus, amen? And that power he's given to us. I saw young men and women stand at an altar and say, here I am, I want to make a difference. And in a nation where their lives were under threat of death, stand publicly in front of me, 300 young men and women. When I made the call for people to give their lives to Christ and serve him for the rest of their lives, I thought maybe one or two. 300 young men and women stood to give their lives fully in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ at threat for their lives. That's the power and life-changing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Nothing else can do that. There's power in the name of Jesus. And he gives us a life worth living. A life that can change eternal destinies. A life of real influence. A life of real impact. Amen? Hallelujah. And we've been given power to model that culture, the culture of the kingdom. We're not here by mistake, because the world needs what you and I have at this moment. So Paul urges in Colossians 3, 1 and 2, he says, you have been raised with Christ. Your life is in Christ. Your faith is in Christ. So set your heart on things above where Christ is, and begin to live according to the heart, the mind, and the purpose of Christ. In other words, focus and apply your faith in such a way that reveals Jesus. Apply your faith in such a way that reveals Jesus, so that your life will carry the kind of influence that has the power to affect the eternal destinies of the people your life interacts with. Amen? Live as a reflection of Jesus Christ. And then Paul gets very, very specific and practical as how to do that. Let's go down to verses 5 and 10 of Colossians 3. He says, so then, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice and slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and in the image of its creator. Anger, rage, or outrage, slander, the very practices used by our internet girl. Just put them away. Immorality. Put all these things away. Do you know why God says that? Do you know why God hates these behaviors so much? You know, some people read this as a rule of do's and don'ts. If you're going to be a Christian, don't do this. If you're not going to be a Christian, you know, it doesn't matter. If you're going to be a Christian, don't do this, don't. That misses the point behind this. Do you know why God hates these behaviors so much? He hates them because they are completely selfish, self-centered, self-serving, self-gratifying, and there's little or no effect as to how, there's no concern as to how these behaviors affects the other person. And the truth is, in all of these behaviors, somebody is getting seriously hurt. Somebody's marriage is going to be destroyed because of sexual immorality. And what effect will that have on the children if there's children involved? Some young person's life is going to be dramatically changed because of sexual immorality. You know, on the news a while ago, there was an account of two teenagers. I think they were 16 and 17, and they lured a 13-year-old girl, and they began to prostitute her. And I go, oh my gosh, where do teenagers learn that kind of behavior? Where do they learn that? And even worse, they were able to profit. They were able to make money because they had clients. A 13-year-old girl's life is horrifically damaged. And how damaged were these other teens to even think of doing such a thing? See, it destroys people's lives. That's why God hates them. Somebody is the brunt of someone else's anger. Someone is the victim of someone's lie. Somebody is the target of gossip. People are getting hurt. People are getting used, exploited. Families are being destroyed. People are being made to feel small, broken, objects of abuse. The thief comes only to rob, kill, and destroy. God hates these behaviors. Because the people he so dearly loves are the same people being hurt, injured, and destroyed. God hates these behaviors because they do not represent who he is. It's exactly opposite to who he is. He hates them because they don't represent who he is. And then Paul brings us to verses 12 to 14. Let's read it. And he says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. If anyone has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And overall, these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And then 16, he says, let the message of Christ dwell among you. See, Jesus invites us. The life Jesus invites us into is characterized by compassion. It's characterized by kindness, forgiveness, humility, gentleness, patience, caring, and serving people, looking out for their best interests. See, that kind of way of living doesn't hurt. It doesn't injure. Rather, that way of living releases life. It releases hope. It releases healing. Because I'm believing the best. I'm lifting people up. I'm serving them. I'm coming alongside them, not to use them, but to care for them. I'm being ruled by love, the same love that was extended to me. When Jesus found me, he didn't condemn me because of my sin. He picked me up, and we heard about it all this morning. He laid his life down for me so I could be lifted up. And in the same way as my life is hidden in Christ, I get to lay my life down for others by caring, by being kind, by loving, by forgiving. And I can come along people and begin to lift them up in the same way that Jesus Christ has lifted me up. Amen. And my life becomes a revelation of who he is, and hope and life begins to get released, and people's lives can be changed for all eternity. Amen. That way of living releases the very nature and character of Christ. It reveals the culture of the kingdom of God. Through faith in Jesus Christ, he has given us a new life that is able to reflect who he is by the power of his Spirit in us. We are able to bear fruit. Amen. We are able to have eternal impact and influence in the culture that God has put us in, because we are alive in him and we live as those who are made alive. We get to be releasers of hope. Amen. We get to be releasers of hope, of real hope. We get to be releasers of real life, releasing the goodness of Jesus, giving witness to the reality of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? I don't know if I've shared this story with you before, but if I have, oh well, you're going to hear it again. I'll never forget the day I thought I was going to die. I was working in the shop at Canadian Tire. And Mr. Biker dude comes up, black leathers, the whole thing comes flying up at my bay door on his bike. He gets off his bike, and he walks face to face. He walks right up, and he comes face to face in my face. About this far away, he says, "Bima." I go, "Yeah?" He goes, "What is it that you got? What is it that you got?" And he's drunk, and he's drunk, and he's angry. And he spit in my face. It's Bima. What is it that you got? I want it. And he gave his life to Jesus Christ in that moment. I'll never forget that. It was one of the most dramatic things I've ever experienced. Face to face with this guy. Biker dude. What is it that you got? I want it. And he gives his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the impact, living this kind of life. That's the impact as we live as those alive. That's the impact as we declare our life is hidden in Christ, and the life I now live in this body, I live by faith through the Son of God who loves me and gave his life for me. My life is hidden in Christ. And no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And I live as him, one of those who's been made alive through faith in Jesus Christ. Because if our faith means anything, it has to change the way we live. Amen? Through faith in Jesus Christ, we get to live a life of incredible influence. And I want to tell you, do not underestimate the influence of your life, especially as you live by faith in Jesus Christ. And I tell you, in this culture, this is one of the most powerful ways, one of the most powerful tools we have of contending for the faith. Because we live in a culture that is becoming, I don't even know if hostile is the right word to the gospel, but the gospel, it's just irrelevant. And you can walking up to people and saying, do you believe in Jesus? And trying to witness like that, that won't work in this culture. But what will work is you show them. You show them what faith looks like. You show them what the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ is doing in your life. You let your life become a, because of your faith in Jesus Christ, let your life become a living witness for the reality of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? And they will come to you and say, what is different? What's different about you? But when we live the same, live as those who have been made alive. Let your faith change the way we live. Amen? Never underestimate the influence of your life, especially if you live as you live your life through faith in Jesus Christ, because people are always watching. Amen. See you later. I'm done. Actually, I am done. If you could have the worship team come forward. But as Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ and no longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. If you want your life to have the eternal impact influence in the God, in the culture that God has put us in, apply your faith in Jesus Christ by living according to what his word instructs, by the power of his Holy Spirit working in you. Amen? You will not only experience the power of the gospel at work in you, but you will see the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ begin to work through you. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just very quickly, with every eye closed, every head bowed. Just want to ask you a quick question I want you to wrestle with, and Holy Spirit, speak to us. Are you actually living in a way that reflects your faith in Jesus Christ? Are you actually living as one who's been made alive in Jesus Christ? Or are there areas of your life that you have not allowed Jesus Christ to cut away? Are there areas in your life that you need to surrender? You know, are you engaged in the outrage culture? But I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, come right now. If you'll open your heart just for a second. Holy Spirit, is there areas in our life that we need to change? Are there areas in our life that do not reflect our faith in Jesus Christ? If God's speaking to you about an area of your life and you know there's something in your life that needs to change, I just, right where you are, just quickly, as an act of acknowledgement of faith before him, just raise your hand. Anything in your life that needs to change. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all over this room. Father, I thank you that you're speaking to us. You're speaking to us not to condemn us, but to set us free. To enable us to walk in that place of victory. And so, Father, right now, we repent before you. We repent of those areas in our life that that we haven't died to. Father, those areas of our life that do not belong to the kingdom of God, we repent of them, Father. And we ask you right now that you would cut them away in Jesus' name. Cut them away right now, Father, in Jesus' name. We recognize them, we acknowledge them, we confess those areas, and we ask, we surrender them, we lay them at the cross, Father, where you died to set us free from them, Father. And now cut them away in Jesus' name. We let them go. And Father, in their place right now, we open up our heart to receive your forgiveness. And Father, a fresh infilling of the power of your love, the power of your Holy Spirit, to go from this place and walk as those made alive through Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the victory that we have. We thank you for the power of faith in Jesus Christ, the power of the gospel. We thank you that that faith in you transforms our lives, and that we can walk in victory in you and model the culture of your kingdom, your heart, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. So I'll stand together.